Welcome back to the Smuggler's Den, brought to you by Game Empire Pasadena, a great place to come and play games, and a great place to order your product from at GameEmpirePasadena.com. I'm your host, Tiny Grimes, and I'm joined, as always, by my co-host,
Ben Tully. I go by Scarlet Knight on the boards. Make sure you check out us on our various interactive points with the community and the fans. You can find us on Facebook at The Smuggler's Den. You can also email us at our Gmail account, which is smugglersdenpodcast@gmail.com.
And you can also check me out on my streaming at twitch.tv/tinygrimes. And there are a number of archived videos there. And I play a game, I don't know, I'd say at least once a day. I try to play one around 3 p.m. Pacific time every day. And, yeah, I waste too much of my time doing that, but come join the party. We have a good time chatting while I'm playing games. I also wanted to mention our new and exciting Octagon tournament that we'll be hosting. It'll be starting on Monday, so make sure if you want into the tournament and you have not submitted your entry yet, please do so. You can email the show, or you can go to CardGameDB under the forums, and there is the official post for the Octagon tournament. All the details are there. Essentially what it is a weekly match that you'll be playing that you'll schedule with your assigned opponent. And if you haven't played on Octagon before, or if you think, oh, I'm not quite an elite level player, that's fine. It's a fun tournament. There should be a lot of prizes. And it'll give you an opportunity to get used to Octagon, to get a feel for it, and perhaps make you more inclined to want to play more online. So hopefully I'll see all of our listeners in the Octagon tournament. And remember, sign up immediately, because by the time this hits the air, signups will be closing very shortly afterwards. So Ben, the next thing I thought we could talk about was play styles. And this is one of the elements of the game that is important to grasp, but there's really three different kinds of play styles. And what would you say those play styles are?
Aggro, control, and combo.
Ben, I'm not sure if something happened to your microphone, but you sound a little bit different.
So yeah, this isn't Ben, this is TGO, the one and only.
Oh, wow, that's weird. I thought there were like 10 TGOs. All right, TGO. Yeah, this is TGO from Top Tier Gaming. I thought I'd bring him in mainly because he has a different play style and he's a top tier player. So I thought we could talk about the difference in our play styles. So TGO, from having seen me play, what would you label my play style as?
Is bad an option? No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, yeah, we could add slash something.
No, I would say from watching you play your Sith decks, you're pretty good at control. Watching you play Rebels, I just shake my head. And I guess I don't quite know what you can classify Jedi as, because they're not really aggro. They're not combo. They're not control or combo. So
they're just kind of... That's interesting. I'd say they're control, because the way I play Jedi, at least, is I control the board with things like targeted strikes, lightsaber deflections, and then once I've controlled the board, that's when I'm able to go ahead and start winning the game. But the first step is controlling the board.
Yeah, yeah, I guess I can agree to that. Yeah, they're not like your true control. Well, I guess it's like light side control, because exactly. I mean, light side and dark side control are going to be two different animals. You know, each side's trying to do two different things.
Yeah, I mean, I've built a pretty good light side control deck, actually, that doesn't blow up objectives. There is a problem with that deck. Can you detect what it is?
It doesn't blow up objectives?
Shockingly, yes, that is a problem.
Because I do believe you said light side deck that doesn't blow up objectives.
Yeah, yeah, that's a really cool deck. Like, dark side couldn't do anything. But yeah, you're really supposed to blow up objectives, so that deck didn't work out all that well.
Neither one of you are really doing anything at that point.
Yeah, it's a pretty boring game at that point. So what would you label your play style as?
Well, I like Rebels a lot, so I guess for light side, I'm definitely more of an aggro player. Although the one rebel deck that I won Chicago with kind of could be classified as a combo deck. Kind of. And then dark side, Sith control is what I've been playing lately. Early in regional season, we had really good success with some aggressive Navy decks. So, I mean, my playstyle changes from day to day. Well, I wouldn't say day to day, but, you know, it varies. It just depends on what's going on with the meta.
Yeah, I think that's really where I wanted to go with this segment is that in this game and in any card game, it's kind of dangerous to say, like, I'm a control player, that's all I do. Because inevitably, the game is going to shift, the meta is going to shift, and aggro and control are going to switch spots. Like right now, I know this is my opinion that I've put out there quite often. I think Jedi are the more consistent deck, but I'm very interested in seeing this new Rebel deck when we see what's been spoiled with the new speeders. It looks like a Rebel aggro deck might become the best deck for light side.
What speeders are you talking about?
Rogue Leader and Rogue 2.
Oh, okay, yeah, you don't really see a whole lot of those, the picture, I believe.
Yeah, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say they're speeders.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty good guess.
Yeah, and so it looks to me like there's going to be a really strong speeder deck. I might be wrong, but my guess is speeder deck is going to be something to be really worrying about if you're the dark side.
Yeah, I mean, the Rebels have access to, even right now, a lot of good speeders, at least in my opinion. I like the shield speeders with the edge tactics. And, of course, Rogue 3.
Yeah, so, but I believe they only have 8 speeders, so you're still left with that sort of, all right, I got lucky and got Hoth Operations.
Yeah.
I hope I draw a speeder now, and sometimes it just doesn't happen. When you add in 8 to 10 more or 4 to 6 more, I feel like it's going to push the deck a little more out of the luck realm and into that consistency realm. And that's always been my issue with Rebels. And really this is the case in most games I've played is that aggro tends to be a bit more inconsistent. When it gets what it wants to do, it just mows everything down, but when it doesn't, it kind of sputters along.
Yeah, I can agree to that, but my experiences with Rebels is I've just... In Magic, there was a theory, trying to think of what it is, but it basically boils it down, know when you're the beatdown, know when you're the control. Mm. And it sounds kind of weird with Rebels and control in the same sentence, I guess, but sometimes you just kind of have to sit there. You know, it's not the best thing, but, you know, sometimes you just got to wait till you can get cards to win an edge.
Yeah, I've definitely noticed that. And it feels like the more sophisticated Rebel players are doing that more often, where they're dropping 2 or 3 good guys, and you kind of tense up and go, okay, what's he going to do? And then he says, I'll pass. And you go, huh, okay. And then the next turn they have 5 cards for the edge battle, and you go, oh, okay, that's going to be a little more difficult to win that edge battle now.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have a hard time against Palpatine. So you got to, especially if he's on the board, you got to plan. You can't just throw yourself at the wall, so to speak, you know, and let him just lock you down.
Yeah, and that's always been my problem with Rebels. It feels like an early Palpatine against Rebels was a real problem unless the Rebel deck can really get everything how it wants. You know, if they get Hoth Operations and Yavin 4 and maybe Preparation for Battle, and then they get Rogue 3 and they get something on him and a shielding unit, then that can work pretty well. But if they just get random stuff, Palpatine is so hard to deal with early.
Yeah.
So it feels to me like that aggro rebel deck can both fall apart on its own at times and get shut down at times by Palpatine. And so there are, it just feels like a smaller window of time that just comes in and wrecks.
I mean, I've had the same problems with Palpatine with the Jedi, though. So, I mean, to say that it's, like, just the Rebels that have the hard time, I think that's a bit unfair.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would agree that Jedi can have a hard time with Palpatine. The difference, I feel like, is that they have more ways to deal with him. With Echo Caverns, with tactics guys of their own, they have an easier time to lock him down. And then with Targeted Strike, I feel like that's a really solid answer to Palpatine.
Yeah, yeah, it's assuming there's no guards out or, you know, anything else to slow you down. Yeah, that's a pretty good answer. But, I mean, the Rebels, they've got Rebel Assault. They've got, what else do they got? They got Leia. That's why I like Leia. She gets you out from under Palpatine.
I don't think Leia was ever under Palpatine. I think you're thinking of Jabba.
Well...
But yes, not, that's true.
Not what I meant, but okay, we can go there.
Speaking of Leia, we're going to review the chapter pack in a moment. But I wanted to ask you, are you seeing the potential for a new Leia deck with Smugglers and Spies and that new ship that allows you to return a guy to your hand by sacrificing it?
Oh, the X-Wing from Cole's pack?
Yes, exactly. I'm trying to find the name of it. Yeah, the Renegade Squadron X-Wing.
Yeah, I've kind of been slacking lately. I haven't done much deck building lately.
I'm really thinking that there might be a viable Leia deck now between Swindled, the Red Squadron X-Wing, and the You're My Only Hope. It feels like now you have six ways to return her to hand. Maybe there's something there that's interesting.
Yeah, but is splashing Rebels better than splashing Jedi? Is my question.
Yes, of course. That is always a good question. My thought. Go ahead.
You're losing out on the Guardians, which really make Han so much better. You're losing out on Luke, which is another targeted strike guy. Plus, he's just good. Just regularly, you know, he's just an all around good unit. So, I mean, it would have to be something really good to make me want to drop Luke and the Guardians.
Yeah, I agree. I actually am not sure I would say that I think it's going to be better than Smuggler's Caverns. I really don't think there's a better light side deck than that right now, but I think it could be an interesting deck. Like you could run Rogue 3 in his pod, and there you use some punch from that. Han is probably going to die against a Sith control deck, so maybe you don't play him there. It just seems like it could be a deck that has some punch, but it might not be.
You know, when you're not playing Han against Sith control or a Sith deck in fear of him just dying too easy, you know, you're just taking out a lot of power from the deck, you know.
Yeah.
I don't really think that's worth it.
Yeah, I agree.
It could be something completely broken that I'm not seeing, but I mean, like, I'm not even really a fan of Pulsera. So I mean, to really put his pod in just for that X-Wing doesn't seem the greatest. I mean, that pod has got, I mean, it's got five good cards in it. Well, yeah, five good cards because I don't like Pull. Yeah, so for what you get for four resources. I mean, Han, I mean, obviously Han's better than him, but I mean, he's, in my opinion, he's behind the curve for a four resource unit. He's only got three icons and two of them are edge enabled. I mean, yeah, he's got the edge ability and his ability is actually really good if you can win the edge, but the rest of his pack, I mean, it hurts your edge battles because everything's a one. I mean, so, yeah, anyway, Cole, I don't like him. I mean, the ability's good if you can reliably win edge, but like I was saying, his pack is just terrible for edge battles. Everything's a one.
I agree. I really think Cole Serra, I'm not going to say worst card in the game in the current meta, but he's really overcosted, I think. I'm not ever playing this guy unless I have to, is what it comes down to.
I mean, how do they make a unit like Chewbacca that costs three And then they make this guy cost 4, and he's not as good as Chewy.
Because he's Cole Sarah, and who cares? No one's even heard of him.
I've heard of him. But I'm not a Star Wars nerd.
All of us know the entire Star Wars alternate universe. Are there any... We've talked about aggro a bit. We've talked about control a bit. Are there any cool combo decks that you've built or you see on the horizon? Especially since you don't think my terrible Leia combo deck sounds great.
the only combo deck that I really know of is just like, you know, you got like Wookiee Navigator, Leia, stuff like that. It all depends on like how loosely you want to define combo and if the combo has to win the game right then and there.
Yeah, for me, a combo deck doesn't have to win the game. It just has to be something that needs multiple pieces to make it function, and then it has a pretty big impact on the game when you're able to make it function.
Yeah, I mean, any deck with Leia in it is could technically be classified as a combo deck, because, I mean, once you get Leia out, assuming you can sacrifice her at your own will instead of the opponent, you know, just force choking her.
Yep.
Anything with Leia's combo potential.
I agree. I think Leia makes up the bulk of the combo decks. The other combo deck I've seen, and you might not even describe it as such, would be what I call the TGO Rebel deck, where you run Echo Caverns, Wedge, and the Battlefield Engineer to try to be, you know, constantly pulling off the force tokens.
Yeah. I loosely considered that a combo deck when I was playing it. And I was like very on the fence about playing that thing. It has some wonky draws.
Yep, and that is the problem with combo decks, right? The reason combo decks aren't usually at the top is because if the combo's too good, it's usually broken and it's bad for the meta.
Yeah.
And so combo decks are inherently risky. You have to get these multiple pieces, and there'll be tons of games where it doesn't work, and then there'll be that one game, and you'll go, oh my goodness, the combo is amazing, and then it keeps you playing it. It's like golf. You get the one good shot, and you just keep doing it, and losing, and then you get your combo again. And for me, I hate those kind of decks. I want consistent decks, not random winning decks.
You're what we would call a Johnny, then.
A what?
Are you familiar with Magic?
Somewhat.
They have, what do they call them? It's like a demographic, I guess you could say. It's not a demographic.
Like archetypes or something?
It's like they break their players down into like 3 different categories.
Gotcha.
And they call them by names.
Okay.
Johnny's like your power gamer, your tournament guy who just plays to win.
Yep.
Which, you know, consistency is like a Johnny trait. Timmy is like Timmy's the guy that likes the big unit, the big cards. Like in terms of our game, that would be like Devastator or soon to be Executor. Oh. They're all about getting their fatties in play and trying to win that way.
Right.
And then you've got the guys that love just combos. If their combo goes off 1 in 100, they're happy.
Yep, we have that in Game of Thrones as well, which is a little bit better because the definitions, I mean, because they're accurate to a person. So, like, Jaime is what I've been described in Game of Thrones and would be here as well, and that's that person. That's just everything is about efficiency, consistency, and tournament victories.
Yeah.
So what would you consider yourself?
I'm a Johnny.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. I like winning.
Would you like to give us a tournament report from the tournament you went to this weekend? I heard it was a rousing success.
I wasn't there.
Oh, you didn't go to that tournament?
No. I was at a White Sox game.
So, in case you didn't hear about this, TGO's MetaMates went to a quote tournament in Chicago that was actually some dude's house. So that must have been annoying.
And I guess it turns out that the regional was moved to a different store. Jarrett got an email from FFG about it, and apparently this store didn't announce it or say anything about it. So they probably had like a two-person regional and flipped a coin to see who gets the buy. I don't even know. Or it could have just been the dudes who's, you know, whoever's house they went to. He's got all the stuff.
That's very interesting indeed.
Yeah.
So that's a good lesson to anyone who is going to a tournament. Always call ahead, a couple days ahead of time, just to make sure. A lot of people running tournaments don't know what they're doing. They'll just, the last second, change the time of the tournament without announcing it. It's always a good idea to call a couple days before, and then I usually even call the morning of and say, just to be clear, what time is your tournament again? And every now and then they'll say a different time, and you go, really? Okay, then. All right, well, let's stop then with our talk about play styles and do a quick review of the pack. So out of the objective sets, which one is your favorite?
Oh, geez.
It's the Colsera one, isn't it?
Oh, no, not even close. I actually like the scum one.
Ah, nice.
Well, I like it. It's got Twist of Fate. It's got the big unit with three resources, but it's got two blasters and I believe an edge tactic for five. And then it's got those corrupt officials, I believe is what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's got, I think it's called Explosive Charge.
Yep.
I like that, just to blow up an Echo Cavern.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things I like about this pod as well. I think Explosive Charge is phenomenal. Corrupt Official is interesting because I don't know if you know this yet, TGO. I don't read cards. I just sort of like glance at them and go, yeah, okay, cool. And so I was talking to somebody about this deck idea I had, and they're like, Corrupt Official, you haven't read him, have you? Because he only works against scum objectives. So the way I'm viewing this deck, this pod, is that it's really best suited in a all scum deck or close, which is weird because it has the scum affiliation only, which basically means if you splash this into, say, a Sith deck, the Corrupt Official is going to be all but useless, and you're going to have four of them in your deck. So it looks to me like this is a scum-only deck, like a scum and neutral deck. Is that how you're looking at it, or are you seeing other uses for it?
I put it in Sith Control just to give it a whirl, and I've not been disappointed with it.
Really? Interesting.
Well, the set as a whole, I'm not just saying a Corrupt Official.
Right.
Corrupt Official actually isn't the worst, like, defender. I mean, you get an automatic blaster. I believe it's a black. He has a black blaster.
Sure.
And he's got three health for two.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
It's not the worst.
That's actually pretty good. I hadn't even. The hilarious thing is, I never even looked at the stats. I just ignored them. I was like, "All right, he's a dude that will never go into play."
And I like that it has twists because it gives Sith Control two more twists that it didn't need.
That's for sure.
But yet it gets two more. Have you noticed how many twists the dark side has? It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it really is.
I think it's 2-1 to the light side.
Yeah, and they're in pretty good pods too. That's the real key. It's not like Rebels get them in Leia's pod, which is like, okay, you know, most decks don't really want to just randomly run Leia. It's really the weakest light side pod if you're not running some cool thing with Leia.
Yeah.
There's no power characters, there's no resources, it's just basically, hey, I get some shielding and a twist.
Yeah, and some random card draw at times.
Yeah, so this, I do like this pod. I don't see that it would, well, I guess in a Sith Control deck, like a more hardcore Sith Control deck, it could work. But if I were running that kind of deck, I would probably want the weak ways instead of this pod, because it gives all of your objectives plus one damage with the enhancement. The weak ways are just phenomenal for two, or not bad for four. I just don't really feel like this pod would be an upgrade over that one.
I mean, you get, like I said, you get Twist, and plus you get Explosive Charge, which I'm trying to think what's in the Weequay pod. I mean, it's two Weequays, Jabba's Palace, the Sandcrawler. I can't think of what else is in it.
The other one is Get Me Solo.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which is not that great of a card, I don't
think. No, I mean, it's not the worst card, but I believe it is it free or does it cost two?
Cost one?
Wow. Yep. I mean, it's not bad for an information gathering card, but
yeah.
I mean, if you're on a key turn and you're gonna go into an edge battle, it's not the worst thing to play, but I don't know.
Yeah, so
I like the new pod because, like I said, that guy's got two blasters and a tactics. He's got a little bit more health than the Weequays.
Yeah, but he costs five, man.
But he gives you resources if you need it.
Yeah, but putting multiple resources on a guy like that's going to lock him down a while. I mean, I guess you can't play him with Mahdi because you're not going to do tricolor. So then at that point, you're sort of praying that you get lucrative contract as one of your objectives. And that's the other problem with this. I feel like if you're running it in a Sith deck, there aren't many mercenaries or bounty hunters that you're getting to synergize this with. It just really feels like an objective set that doesn't have a great place in the current meta, but I feel like once the box drops, this could be a really, really strong control objective.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to it a lot. I feel like Corrupt Official is going to be an absolutely game-breaking card that's just going to completely screw Rebel decks. You know, they roll in there with Rogue 3 and Wedge and go, yeah, boom. No, sorry, Rogue 3 with the Astromech Droid and say, that's four. And you go, oh, really? Boom, Corrupt Official. And then they just kind of cry.
Yeah, anytime you can prevent that much damage or an objective being destroyed, that'll be game-changing.
Yeah, and let's go ahead and move to my favorite one since we're already talking about these. And that would be, I guess I'm going to say, the General's Imperative. It's really what this allows you to do now. And if you haven't seen my new Desolation of Hoth deck, I basically took the eight Hoth pods, threw them together, and went, I wonder if this would work, and started playing it and said, oh my goodness, this thing is totally insane. Because with Killing Cold, Desolation of Hoth, and I believe it's five Battles of Hoth, it is very difficult to actually damage those Hoth objectives.
Yeah, it was. Didn't you stream a game with that deck?
Yeah, I've streamed about 10 games with it now, and this is fun. The funny thing, I have never lost with this deck.
Yeah, I was watching the one game, and it pretty much went off without a hitch. Because I believe your opponent ended the game with no damage on an objective, and I think you destroyed one or two.
Probably three. The norm for this deck is I wipe out three, they end the game with zero damage on any objectives. That's the norm for the deck. Every now and then, they'll get some damage. There was one game where a dude knocked out an objective, but it was because I made some mistakes. It's just a really hard deck to deal with. And a lot of it is this pod. So the pod is essentially the General's Imperative, which is a really phenomenal objective in this sort of deck where you can take damage, because it says when it's undamaged, your reserve value is increased by one. Getting a reserve of seven or eight is really hard to deal with.
Yeah, because at that point, you're just outdrawing them.
Yeah, exactly. And the deck doesn't have a lot of resources. So General Veers, while he's good, I feel like he's not as good in this particular deck. But doesn't it feel like we're going to have whole deck types just built around General Veers?
Like maybe a trooper, small walker deck kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah, I feel like...
Or just walkers in general.
Yeah, I feel like he can both make a trooper deck viable... And just with all the walkers that are coming that we currently have, it's just going to make them that much stronger.
I have never been a fan of the trooper deck, though. That thing is so fragile. I think all the troopers except for the stormtroopers in Mahdi's pod, and there's the troopers in Tarkin's as well that are three health, I believe. But for the most part, the troopers are really, really low health. Like, usually one.
Yeah, that's true. We do have the new Trooper Vanguard, who's really phenomenal if you're just looking for health and unit damage at 3 health, a shield, and 3 unit damage.
I actually like the one cost guy, because he comes with the 2 blasters. It's pretty good for one resource.
Yeah, the Snow Trooper. Yep. We'll move on to that pod in just a moment. But yeah, so Veers feels like he's going to be something pretty great. I really like the Blizzard Force AT-ST. A 2-cost unit that is often going to have 2 blast damage because of the new forward command post card is really strong in my opinion.
Yeah, I like that forward command post.
Yeah.
You get a blast if you're shielded.
Yep, that's going to be another really strong deck type, I think. And then a card that I thought I wasn't going to like, when they first spoiled Turbo Laser Battery, I was thinking things like, well, that doesn't fit in my Navy decks. You know, usually I have the Imperial Command Center, which costs 3. I have those 2-cost resource enhancements. Like, that's how I build my decks, with all those resource enhancements, and then I go crazy. In this deck, where I don't really have resource enhancements, this card is a real game changer.
Yeah, plus it's going to be good against the guy that beats him, which would be like Super Yoda.
Yes, exactly.
Because Super Yoda is kind of the bane for the Trooper deck.
Yeah,
at least in my experience, he has been, because I've played a game with Jarrett, and he gets like Super Yoda with Shicho. What do you do at that point? You just lose.
Yeah, you go, okay, in 3 turns I lose 3 objectives. Cool. Yeah, my biggest take so far with the Turbo Laser Battery, I got an Echo Caverns, 2 resources, and 2 enhancements on Yoda, all at one shot.
If you're getting more than one card and more than, what does it cost, 3 resources?
Yep.
Yeah, so as long as you get 3 resources worth of stuff and more than one card, I think you're coming out okay on that deal.
Yep, me too. And I think because Lightside has so many powerful enhancements, it's not just they have them, but they're powerful. And those Jedi decks really rely on having extra resources. If you can get a Jedi deck stuck at 4, there's not that much they can do. They can't drop Luke and an enhancement, or Luke and a cancel, or Luke and a guardian. They have to really go slowly and build the board up, and this is a way to really slow them down.
Well, even if you can blow up Trust Your Feelings and Jedi Lightsabers with it, you're doing good too, because, I mean, my experience, Jedi don't have as many blast icons as the Rebels, so they're a little bit slower. They've got to build all that up.
Yep, and they're definitely reliant on the enhancements because of that. You know, lightsaber on a guy is just really helpful, getting that one more blast damage. So that's a card that, had we reviewed the pack the day it came out, I would have had to do a mea culpa and say, my bad, I thought this card was going to be bad. I still think it's going to be one of these cards that, depending on the deck, it's either going to be really good, or a card that you just look at and go, wow, I wish I didn't have so many enhancements, because if I play this, I'm going to be totally screwed.
How many Force icons does it have? Does it have 1 or 2?
It only has 1, so it's not good for Edge. And overall, the pack is a bit dicey. I was a little surprised to see Veers only had 1, and the Walkers, I believe, have 1, yeah. So it's basically all the cards have 1, and then there's Battle of Hoth, which... 3 icons on Battle of Hoth is just insane. Like, I can't quite figure out why it's 3. You know, all the other ones are 2. By making this 3, I have a deck with 5 of them. It lets me do some really tricky things, because there are 2 Twists of Fates in the Killing Cold pod. I'm able to do little tricky things like just put a Battle of Hoth in and pass, and they go, well, you know, can I really afford to throw a bunch of stuff in here and have it twisted? And 3 is hard to get over with only 1 card.
Yeah, 3's pretty good when you play it on defense, because then they're like, do I risk, like you said, do you risk the extra card?
Yeah, and 3 on defense is really good, because that means they have to get 4, which is 2 good cards. You know, usually Lightside's putting in 3 with 2 cards, not 4.
Yeah, I don't know if you look at this or not, but like the average force icons per, like per side, or affiliation, if you want to call it that, like light side, dark side.
Mm-hmm.
I got a little spreadsheet set up for that. You know, I keep track of all that stuff for deck building purposes.
Hmm. Yeah.
I look at how many force icons are in a pod.
Right. Okay, let's move on to the last dark side pod, which is Sabotage in the Snow. What do you think of this pod?
The objective, that's the one that removes a shield?
Yes.
At the start of your conflict phase, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not too thrilled about that.
Yeah, me too. The effect, when I first read it, without reading it carefully, I was like, oh, that could be good. But it's so specific that it just feels like you can play around that a bit more as the light side. You just don't give yourself a shield if they're not going to be striking you. And you can tell, like, okay, that guy has a unit damage that's attacking. I'll block and shield and then soak the shield so they can't take it.
I mean, when they do have shields, though, I mean, obviously if it's like a speeder deck, there's going to be shields. So, I mean, it's going to be good against certain decks.
Right.
But it's not something I'd want to. If that's in my top four, it's going to, I'm pretty sure it's going to the bottom most of the time.
Yeah, also it's neutral. And this deck, or a lot of these Hoth decks, we'll say, struggle with that a bit. Because you've got only, like, we'll say, two Sith, six Imperial, and two neutrals, which makes it a little bit dicey. So I think you're right. I think the objective itself is not that great. The set looks pretty darn strong, though, I think.
Yeah, I really like that one resource snowtrooper. I mean, for one resource, I mean, he's only got one health, but he only costs you one. But he gives you two edge-enabled blasters. So, you know, even if you win the edge, two blasters, that's usually able to destroy most units that aren't a main. So, I mean, you get to, or even if you're putting two damage on Luke for one resource, that's pretty good value.
Yeah. If nothing else, it puts that pressure on your opponent. Like, let's say you have Orbital Bombardment out or Morsh Moraine. For one cost, you can just initiate a battle, and they have to look at that and go, oh, okay, if I do this, I have to win the edge. I'm going to have to put a bunch of cards in, which allows him then. Yeah, so if you, it forces them to put in extra cards, and then they have to worry about, well, if I put in too many cards, then the next battle, I won't have edge cards left. So I just feel like if you're attacking with the Snowtrooper, it's going to be unopposed more often than not. And if you can double that with Morsh Moraine or Orbital Bombardment, for one resource, you're going to get two damage, which is pretty darn good.
Yeah, I think the only way this guy gets blocked is if you have Han Solo available to block.
And then, like we already said, Forward Command Post is a really good card, and I think decks are going to get built around this. You have the shielding capital ship. You have those shielding walkers. You have the AT-ST, which has multiple ways to get shields within that pod. It's just a really cheap, effective way of getting another damage or another blast icon.
Plus, it gives you a resource.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Go ahead.
Yeah, just being able to get a resource from it, that's just icing on the cake, you know?
Yeah, it's like a weaker Orbital Bombardment that's cheaper with a resource. Like, I'd be tempted to play and be happy to play a two-cost one resource card that isn't limited anyway. Like, that's not bad. And then you throw on a really spectacular ability and you go, oh, okay, cool. And I get two of them? Wow, all right.
Yeah.
I've definitely had first turns where I've just played those two guys and then that walker that with the shielding. And my opponent's like, oh, great. So next turn, that two-cost walker is going to hit me for three. Well, isn't that special?
So if this wasn't limited to one per deck, would you play two of it?
Yes, probably in every deck.
Yeah, I would think that'd be a pretty easy decision.
Yeah, I guess I shouldn't say in every deck because there'll be decks without shielding, but what I mean is I would definitely have my main deck be a deck that was built around two copies of this pod. Like, that's where the deck would start.
Yeah.
It would just be too strong, I think.
Yeah, so, like, the AT-AT with this, when that pod finally comes out, I think that's going to be really good with forward command post. You'll have, basically, it's going to be the Walker deck, you know?
Yeah, he basically becomes, like, a cheaper Devastator at that point.
Yeah.
If you have two forward commands out, and he has a shield on him, now he has two edge-dependent, two non-edge-dependent blast, striking like a maniac. I mean, this guy is going to be really good, and you always have that option of removing Echo Caverns or Trust Your Feelings or something amazing as well.
Yeah, you will be forced, though, to win the edge, at least, if you want to get all those blasts.
Yeah, but still, that's why forward command post is so good, that even if you lose the edge, you're still getting two. And so the way I look at that is that's a type of card that just puts immense pressure on your opponent. They have to win the edge, whereas you're like, well, even if I lose the edge, I still have two unit and two blast. Like, that's pretty darn strong still.
Or if you've got Viris, you've got at least three blasters, so...
Exactly.
Unless they throw multiple units at you, you're probably going to kill something.
Yep. I feel like that's going to be a really nice deck that comes around. Like, I'm guessing my Desolation of Hoth deck is a one-pack deck that will change dramatically next pack with what I have to assume is not just a lone AT-AT and then a bunch of non-Walker cards. I'm just sort of working under the assumption that that's going to be a Walker pod.
Well, I'm waiting for Vader's Fist. And Killing Cold with the Executor.
Yep.
That's like the deck I'm like just waiting for, because you just keep sacrificing stuff with Killing Cold to the Executor, and you either damage objectives or you hit units.
Yeah, the Executor. I think the Executor is going to be really, really strong. I mean, basically Vader, once he hits the table, he's just amazing. It doesn't matter if he's attacking. That part's irrelevant. It's his ability. And I feel like the same is going to be true with the Executor. And have we seen, is that limited to once per turn or not?
No, I don't believe it is.
Wow, yeah. If that has no limitation on it, I mean, just imagine Vader without a limitation. I mean, that's really hard to fathom how powerful that card can be. You know, you could do things like Espo Troopers and just sacrificing a million guys and just doing all kinds of damage. It just feels like a deck that could be totally out of control.
Yeah, Executor just says reaction after a card is sacrificed, deal one damage to target enemy unit or objective. So you just have to be able to sacrifice a unit.
All right, I'll play four Espo Troopers and blow up that objective. Okay, cool. Yeah, and I know the cost is supposed to be prohibitive. I don't think it's going to be. I think between the capital ship pod, objective reducer, the enhancement that you can sacrifice to reduce. I mean, my Devastating Sith already could play the Executor. It has resources coming out of its ears. It doesn't need help to play it. So I think it's going to be a very scary card.
Yeah. Understatement.
Yeah. But we will review that in detail when we get there. So what about the light side? Are any of the three light side packs intriguing to you? Okay. Yeah, so go ahead. You were going to talk about the neutral one.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's only got the four damage capacity, but it's giving you the three resources, which Jedi need resources. Rebels could always use more resources. So, I mean, it doesn't have an ability, but when you're getting three resources, you don't really need an ability.
Yeah, I feel like this pod makes a lot of decks viable now. By giving you two resources in the pod with Echo Control Center, which is a two-cost, one resource, which also says enemy events cannot target other friendly enhancements, which makes it so... that scum explosive charge card can't actually take out your beloved Echo Caverns if this is on the table. And then it has a Tauntaun, which, you know, I'm never even sure. Like, when I'm counting up resources in a deck, I just don't even count Tauntauns anymore. Because I look at it and I say, well, I can't rely on it because most people are playing Sith, and the second you play one, they just choke it.
To be honest, though, I don't even mind if they want to choke it. It's one less choke that gets pointed at Yoda, Luke, Han, whoever.
See that logic in a Jedi deck? But we see Tauntauns most often in Rebel decks, and I feel like in Rebel decks, the Sith player's usually just sitting there going, man, I really wish I had something to burn this Force choke on.
Yeah, at that point, you're right. Because then now you're letting Vader's trigger come into play, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But still, having two in there, I think, is really good. It has a Battle of Hoth, which, if it's in a Hoth deck, is going to be really useful. And what do you think about these two droids?
I like them. I mean, they're not the worst. I mean, for one resource, you've got the unique WED 15-10-16. One resource, two health. Doesn't have any icons, but his ability is just after you refresh, you get to remove one token of any type, so you can remove damage.
Yeah, I think he's going to be really strong in a Hoth deck.
Top of that, if you have Frozen Refuge out and you have this droid out, you know you get two resources every turn from it.
Exactly. And he has he has the one Force icon, so you just commit him to the Force. You don't have to focus him to use his ability, so he's just always a thorn in the side of the dark side player.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like him. The card that I'm a little less sure about is the FX7 Medical Assistant. His ability is phenomenal. After he's focused to strike, remove one token from enhancement or character. That is really strong. You get multiple uses from Echo Caverns, from the blaster emplacement, remove a token from Han, let him go again to do three more damage. The problem, of course, is he has to be able to strike, which means you're putting this dude into battles with two health and no way to mitigate it because your protectors can't protect droids. That, to me, is a little bit frightening.
Yeah, you can't protect him and you can't lightsaber deflect from him.
I think you can lightsaber deflect. But yeah, it's not too bad. It's just it frightens me to have a dude sitting out there with only two health that's I have to battle with. If I didn't have to battle with him, I wouldn't worry because you can't Force choke him. It would take two Vader reacts to kill him. If they really want to waste a Force lightning on this guy, so be it. But he has to strike, and that's a little bit scary.
Yeah, I don't know. If they're more worried about this guy than, say, some of your better characters on the table, then I think that's the least of your worries, him dying.
Yeah, and that's kind of how I'm looking at it, that he's like a lesser version of Trust Your Feelings, and having three Trust Your Feelings in a deck would be pretty great.
Yeah, being able to remove a focus from a character is going to be pretty good.
Yeah, at this point, I'm thinking, like, every new deck I build, I put one in. I'm trying to figure out if it fits in Smuggler's Caverns or if I need to rebuild that deck to fit it in, but I really do feel like this is going to be one of those foundational cards for the light side.
This just feels like a card that's like looking for a combo.
Oh yeah, I agree. I think, like we were talking about before with combo decks, that this is a combo card for sure.
Yeah.
And I was really disappointed when I saw it was limit one because you can't build around it as easily. Like if you're playing a three resource objective, you can't really build your deck around pulling those focus tokens off because there's only one. It's very unlikely you're going to see it.
Yeah, that's the only downside. And I'm just kind of curious why they made this a one of. I mean, I'm sure it has something to do with the three resources.
Yeah.
You know, but maybe give it two resources. I don't know. I mean, I know they've got they've got their own restraints on what they can and can't do with each pack. but would have been nice to be able to play with two of these guys.
Yep. I think the problem with it becomes consistency. It's like we were talking about with combos. If I could have two of these FX7 dudes I could sort of count on, it would be a little more worrisome. What I'd love to see is a non-limit one resource pod. Because Lightside has so many resource issues, it would be nice to have a pod that has like two or three resource cards, kind of like a Mahdi pod, that you can just splash into any Lightside deck and kind of fix the resource issues that all Lightside decks have.
Yeah, wishful thinking. Only seems like only Darkside gets resources.
Yeah, it's a very interesting dilemma.
They get resources and Twists of Fates.
Yep. So we already talked about the the Smuggler's Pod. You don't like it very much. I love Stinging Insult. Like, in the current meta, I don't think it's going to work very well because there just aren't enough Smuggler character units that you can use that can help trigger this. But I think when the pool gets fleshed out a little more, it's going to be really cool to be able to say, like, force Mahdi into a battle when they do not want to defend with Mahdi and then he just dies, or some other character that they absolutely did not want to battle with.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that being really good. The problem I have though is, like, right now Jedi decks or just Lightside, since most of them are Jedi anyway, or at least it seems that way. You've got Han Solo with targeted strike, Luke with targeted strike. This card kind of seems unnecessary because you can just targeted strike them. I mean, obviously, yeah, if you don't have the targeted strike, it's good to force them in, but I don't know. Like you said, right now, it's just, I don't think it's good for the meta.
The only card that I'm really excited about it with, yep.
Okay. Yeah. I love that guy in defense. Or you just throw him into an edge battle with somebody with a lot of blast, and you really make him think twice about wanting to defend.
Yeah, I agree. I usually don't even play him. In my Echo Caverns deck, two cost is usually just too prohibitive. But every time I see someone have him on the board, I'm always like, oh, that darn guy, he's too good.
What do you think of Don't Get Cocky?
I think it's a card where you need to be doing like three battles a turn to make it work. I don't think you can count on winning edge battles in this meta. There's just way too much Sith control and they're going to win the edge battles. So you need to have a deck that can go into a bunch of battles. One of them's going to be unopposed and then you get to play Don't Get Cocky.
Yeah, but even if it's unopposed, you've still got to win it by two.
Yeah, but you can put in a target or something like that. But I agree, it's a very weird card. Like, Rebel Assault is 1,000 times better. I just don't quite understand why this card was made the way it is.
Or why they put that you have to win it by two.
Yeah, well, even winning it by one would be tough. Because then, unopposed, you still have to put one in. But you're right, winning it by two is tricky. I build a couple decks with it, and it has not worked that great.
What's your feelings on Last Defensive Hawk?
I don't know. I mean, it's really great when I'm playing a deck and I get a random edge card. The one downside, of course, is that you can lose a pretty phenomenal card that you would never have wanted to lose in that edge battle. And then as soon as it's damaged, it's turned off. So it really only seems like something you'd want to build around when you're playing with the Guardians of Peace so that you can have the Yavin 4 to actually protect it.
Yeah, the whole while undamaged, whenever I see that on an objective, like, I immediately stop reading. Which is probably a bad idea, but I just don't like it. Because, I mean, it has to be a really phenomenal ability to make me want to play it at that point.
It's hard for the efficiency player because it's hard to really plan around it. The only way you can, like in my Desolation of Hoth deck, there's so many different ways to remove damage that it works. But for a Jedi, they don't really have that option, or for the light side. So I feel like you're forced to play it with Yavin 4, and then you're almost stuck in that rebel spot where you're like, come on, perfect combination of objectives. I have to get Yavin 4 and my one that can't be damaged. Oh, dang it, I didn't get Yavin 4. Now that one's worthless after the first turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be good for your first turn and the dark side second turn at least, you know, till their first engagement.
Yep.
So, I mean, conceivably you could get four uses out of it. Does it say one? No, it's limit once per edge battle.
Right.
So, yeah, even if you do three edge battles on your first turn, which is probably unlikely, but, I suppose if you get three or four uses out of it, you know, you've got a little bit of mileage out of it, but I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of it.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Jedi one is really strong. Like, if you could build a deck around this, and I did build one and got Yavin 4 out, and it worked great. I could just kind of throw guys into battles. They would die. I wouldn't care. They come back to my hand. And I think I cycled Luke three different times. And it was just a really cool ability. And with the Daughters of Alia, you have that slightly better chance that you'll be able to keep it undamaged. But even that card, I feel like you're really relying on getting Yavin 4 out. And it's really restricting your deck building abilities.
Well, the reason why I don't like this one is because it's only during an engagement. So if they force choke Luke, I mean, if they do two damage to Luke in combat, as soon as the engagement's over, force choke him, well, you don't get to bring Luke back to your hand. He's just gone.
That's a good point. I'm not sure I had fully read that card.
So maybe you were cheating?
That's a distinct possibility. I have been known to cheat accidentally.
call it cheating. We'll just say...
Mistake.
You didn't read the card.
It was a mistake, yeah. It was on New Pack Wednesday, and New Pack Wednesday is a crazy day. But, yeah, it does feel like it's a pretty strong card that you can be a little more loosey-goosey with your cards. And I was originally thinking, like, awesome, this makes it so I don't have to run the Guardians. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, the Guardians have Yavin 4. I'm still stuck with those darn Guardians. When am I going to be rid of them?
Never.
Yeah, sure feels that way. So it's one of these pods where I want it to be good. If it had a resource, I'd be happier with it. Yoda's Protection I was really excited about until I realized it doesn't really work well on Yavin 4 because they're not actually engaging it. They're engaging a different objective, and then you are moving it to Yavin 4. So I don't believe you get to shield Yavin 4 in that circumstance.
No, not when you're using its ability, no.
Yeah. So I feel like that reduces the value of Yoda's Protection quite a bit because they can just choose not to engage whatever one is shielded. And then Confronting the Terror, I mean, it's kind of like Detained, right? Like if you see a Imperial deck and they have three resources open for no reason and barely played anything, it's pretty obvious what they're doing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I saw somebody compare this to Force Lightning.
Yeah, that's not an apt comparison at all.
It's really not, because as a light side player, you don't want to, like, willfully give up tempo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
Like, if you're holding back three resources, then you've spent one, maybe two.
Yep.
And then it's kind of like a big red flag. What's this guy doing? He's holding three back.
Yep. And I mean, you could look at it like, I'm holding three back to make it so the Devastator doesn't attack. Sure, but they can just attack with all their other guys and really put the pressure on you. Like, okay, Do I use it now? You know, just save that Devastator for last. And then they can just say, okay, fine, I'll just commit the Devastator to the Force and let him be while you didn't play anything. You know, like if you could play this in a deck that had 9 resources, like a Sith deck, it would be a phenomenal card.
Because yeah, if this was a Sith card, it'd be great.
Oh, yeah. And the difference between this and Force Lightning is Force Lightning is targeted removal. You are paying 3, often 2, to remove whatever card you want, whereas Confronting the Terror is more of a damage mitigation card than a removal card.
Yeah, that's the part that I don't really like about it, the fact that they can spread it around. And now you've held 3 resources back, they've committed more units to the board, and now you play this. Okay, yeah, they attacked with Devastator, they did 4 damage. Okay, yep. They've got 5 units on the board, plus 3 objectives, you know.
Yeah,
they just spread that. They just spread that 4 damage around to wherever it looks the best.
Yep, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that it's when damage is dealt. So I believe since the icons are handled individually, it would only target one of the set of icons.
Yeah. So if you could choose to do the 2 blasters, or you could choose to do the 4. I believe Devastator. Yeah, Devastator has 4 blasts.
Right, and you could probably
you're not even picking up the unopposed.
Yeah, exactly.
If it's an unopposed conflict.
Yeah, I feel like this is a really overcosted card. It has 3 Force icons, which is great.
It's a really good edge card.
Yeah, but I really just feel like until Lightside can have a build that has oodles of resources, I consider it more of like a beginner card. Like, I remember when I would play against people and they would leave 3 resources for their Akbar. And then I would go like, oh, cool, so Akbar's coming? And they'd look at me all shocked, like, oh no, he's on to me. And it's like, really? I'm on to you? You only have 4 resources, you're playing Rebels, and you only used 1. Obviously you have Akbar. Like, it's hard to disguise Akbar, and it's the same thing with this card, I think.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not a fan of this one.
And I do love protection as a fate card. Getting 2 Force icons and a shield, I was able to use it to really great effect in my games where I was using this pod. Like, you'd put it on Luke, you know, they'd have 1 guy who they think, you know, they're playing Sith control, and they have a dark advisor, and they're like, okay, I'm going to tactics Luke, and then he's screwed. And you just go, boop, shield on Luke, and they're like, oh, wow. That just crushed all my plans.
Yeah, and I also like that it'll trigger before heat of battle or target of opportunity.
Yep, exactly.
So you see one of those, you just put a shield. But I mean, on the same side or you know, same time, you've got if you've got 2 units in an engagement and they play a heat.
Yeah, right.
They're still going to get the heat through.
I have a feeling this pod is going to be really good in the future, and I wouldn't be shocked if somebody built a pretty good deck with it, but without it having a resource and without it having any big units, it just feels like it's not quite there.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not my favorite, or it's not even one of my like top 5 Jedi pods right now. Or I wouldn't even say it's like one of the better ones, period. I mean...
That was a pretty funny review.
I don't like tactics in Jedi. They need blasts. Give me stuff with blasts. That's all that I ask.
Interesting.
Maybe that's why I like Rebels.
Yeah, I think so. Because I actually don't care if they don't have blasts. Like, I like Daughters of Alia. If they were the secondary character in the deck, and let's say it had, instead of Yoda's Protection, it had a resource, and instead of Confronting the Terror, it had some main, I would love this pod.
Yeah, I could see that then. It would depend on how good the main is.
Yep, even if it was somebody like...
Would it still have 2 daughters?
Sure, why not?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would have 2 daughters. Yoda's protection was a resource, plus protection, and a main.
Yep.
Yeah, I would see that being really good then.
Yeah, exactly. Like, that to me is what good pods are. And, like, if you look at Han, it's like the main, the resource, some decent supporting guys, and then good events. Like, that's a good pod, and I have a feeling that is not going to change during the duration of the decks. And so I see this as the same problem with self-preservation. Like, it's a good pod, but it has to play a support role. And as the card pool becomes bigger, and there's plenty of good pods with resource, good character, good supporting character, and cool events, I think we're going to find that pods like this are just harder and harder to play rather than being easier and easier to play.
Yeah, it almost like begs the question, like, how many of these utility pods or whatever you want to call them, how many of those do you want to put in your deck? You know?
Right. I mean,
you've already got Guardians. That's a utility pod.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you don't want to run too many of them because then you don't have enough other good units to win.
Yeah, and enough resources. I really wish they took a new tact and said, all utility pods have a resource. And that way, there's just more reason to actually use them.
Yeah, I mean, because then you've got your utility units, and then you've got your resource.
And I feel like that's what they do with Darkseid. Like, Mahdi's pod is a utility pod. It has, you know, some decent little units, orbital bombardment, and resources. Like, that's its job. It's a utility pod. I just don't quite understand why Lightside doesn't have that same opportunity. Well, TGO, it was great having you on the show this week. Thanks for coming by to share your impressions of the new pack and play styles. And I look forward to playing with you soon, my favorite aggro player.
Thank you. As soon as I get a PC, I'll be on Octagon and we can play.
So you hear that, listeners? If you want to play TGO on Octagon, just send him a couple $100 and he'll buy a PC.
Well, I'll play on Lackey. It's just whether or not anybody wants to play on Lackey.
I believe to play on Lackey, they would have to actually update Lackey at some point.
Probably. And on top of that, they don't have automation, so...
For me, that's not a problem. I love not playing with automation. So as soon as Lackey gets in the hands of somebody who is updating it regularly, I will definitely be playing on Lackey.
Well, if it's just a matter of updating it regularly, that's not a problem.
It seems to be one right now. Apparently, the new stuff has been done for quite a while, and it just hasn't gotten updated.
Well, I have it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
I just, for whatever reason, the guy hasn't made it available, but it was made available to me. Because I'm actually the one that updates the text.
Ah, okay. Well, then we'll definitely have to play on Lackey. So if you want to play TGO, hit him up on the Card Game DB site, ask him for the Lackey materials, and you can see, I don't know if I want to say you're the best Rebel player I know, but you're certainly among the elites.
I haven't even been playing him lately.
Wow. Well, they must be sad then, because you were the only person I knew who played them really well. All right. Well, thanks for coming by, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care.
All right. Well, that wraps up another edition of the Smuggler's Den. And until next time, may the Force be with you.